Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a great show in store for you today. I, first of all, want to wholeheartedly thank all of you for tuning in each and every show. I hope that you are getting a lot of information, tools, techniques, nuggets of gold that you can take into your life and use immediately after you hear each show. So again, thank you for taking time each week to check in and tune in to us and listen to the phenomenal guests that we try to bring to you to help you to reduce or eliminate stress from all aspects of your life. Secondly, I want to thank today's show sponsors. The first one is the Health Healing and Wellness Company. As you know, the Health Healing and Wellness Company is a holistic and natural wellness company that strives to be the company that you look for when you are looking at improving your health and well-being in a holistic and natural manner. At the Health Healing and Wellness Company, they know that a balanced mind, body, and spirit is a key to optimal health and well-being. They also know that the natural and holistic path to well-being is the best path to well-being because it encompasses the well-being of the whole being, the whole you, instead of individual parts of the person. And they base all of what they do for their clients on the principles of Ayurveda. So if you're looking for possibly a luxury wellness retreat, to have a luxury VIP day experience, maybe you want a customized wellness plan of care, or you just want to check out some of the wonderful tools and techniques and programs that they have to just help you have a lot better life as you travel down your path to bliss, then I highly suggest that you check the Health Healing and Wellness Company out at healthhealingwellness.com. And since we're in the mode of taking care of business, the next sponsor of today's show, the All Day Cable Incorporated, is a telecommunications installation company that has existed in Northern California for over 26 years. They specialize in installing voice, data, fiber optic, and wireless systems for small, medium, and very large corporations. They provide the backbone that your technology and transmission of telecommunications travels through, and they do it by making the right connections the first time so that you don't have any mishaps when it comes to your telecommunications operations within your company. So if you're looking for a phenomenal company that can give you what you need with regards to being a partner and helping your telecommunications run smoothly, then you want to check out All Day Cable Inc. That's alldaycableinc.com. And lastly, I want to mention one of our book sponsors on the site, Courtney Otmanson, and her book, Teachings from God, is a really interesting book, great conversation that she had as she had the journey of writing this book. She says, Teachings from God, greeting your soul and revealing the divine within you. And a lot of us sometimes discount that we do have the divine spirit living inside of us and breathing inside of us and trying to help us through our day as we travel down our path to bliss. But if you are a believer or an unbeliever, either way, you want to check out Teachings from God by Courtney Amundsen, and you can go to the webpage and click on the link, and it'll take you right to her book where you could potentially possibly purchase that book and help yourself to just go on and have a much better or easier journey as you travel down your path to bliss. Now, let's get down to business with today's guest. Today's guest is Dr. Art Caporal. He is the president of Concepts for Health, a health and healing expert and a teacher and a lecturer. His 23-plus years of experience of clinical in the clinical setting and tens of thousands of people asking his advice has enabled him to develop a unique system that enables people to take control of their health. His professional teaching experience to doctors and the public covers a wide range of topics. Now, he went to school at the California State University of Long Beach with an emphasis on studying human biology, and then went on to Cleveland Chiropractic College and graduated over 26 years ago and began private practice in 1991. And so because we are all about trying to help you live really blissfully and have optimal health and well-being and really have a reduction or possibly an elimination of stress from all aspects of your life, it is my esteemed honor and pleasure to welcome Dr. Art Caporald to Blissful Living. Hello, Dr. Art. How are you doing today?
Good, Rochelle. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing good. I'm a little tongue-twisted this morning. I just don't know what's going on, but I think I get so enthused and excited about, what I do, particularly when it comes to health and well-being, me being a health and healthcare professional for many years. I know the importance of us all taking care of our greatest asset, which is our health and well-being. And so when I have an expert on such as yourself that we could really dive deep into some subjects that people need to hear about and maybe help some people out there that are listening to have a better life as they travel down their path to bliss, it just gets me really enthused and excited, and the words just rush out before I can actually comprehend what I'm saying.
I understand. So
let's just get started. Oh, you guys out there listening, this might be a great time for you to sit back, relax, grab a piece of paper or something to write with so that you can take notes and really listen to what Dr. Art has to share with us, because I guarantee that there will be some nuggets of gold that he will share with you today that you will be able to utilize in your life immediately after listening to today's show. Where else can you get that on a planet where you can listen to something and have immediate information that can help you have a much better day and potentially a much better life? So, Dr. Art, in your terms or in your words or in your language of what you do and what you share with your clients, what would you say health is?
It's interesting they say that, because most people, when they come into my office, they assume that, well, I'm fairly healthy because I feel, I don't have too many symptoms. When health is not just merely the absence of symptoms. And I mean, many, many times people will come in and they say, well, I've got diabetes and I've got high blood pressure and I've got stage 2 kidney problems. But other than that, I'm really healthy. And it flabbergasts me every single time I hear that, because what my job is to teach people that health is just not merely the absence of symptoms. It's things functioning as close to optimum as possible. And so if you have a disease process or an illness, just because you feel okay with that illness does not make you healthy. And so that's what I want people to understand, is that everybody goes through illness, on a daily basis. And I'm saying that, and I'm kind of cringing to myself right now, because I want people to understand that the body has a checks and balance system, and it's always correcting and fine-tuning. And so it's constantly going through and killing bacteria and dealing with cancer and rebuilding cells that are not doing well. And so it's just a matter of understanding that you have to take care of your body so it can do that on a daily basis, so you don't get sick and you don't get specific health concerns.
Got it. So, yeah, I know that you do hear people that have all, a variety of things going on with them. And when you talk to them about, the possibility of them being able to have optimal health and well-being, what would you say, because a lot of people don't believe that's possible, particularly if they're fighting or dealing with a disease process, what would you say to that person when you say that to them and they give you that look like, what you talking about,
right,
Willis?
exactly. And so, you called yourself the queen of feeling fabulous. And I think that's a phenomenal thing to state, because when you ask me that question and I'm sitting down with people as a patient, sometimes they look at me dumbfounded because they don't believe that they can ever feel that way. And so what I explain to them is, look back in your past and think of one day you woke up when you felt like you could do anything in the world. You had plenty of energy. Your brain was firing on all eight cylinders. You slept well that night. Everything you did was exactly the way you wanted it to be. And then look at some days when you wake up in the morning and nothing goes right. And so if you have days where everything goes right and you feel really well and everything's lining up perfectly, you can have every day that way. It just means that you have to find out why you're not doing that on those other days. And there's many things that can actually cause that problem. And so creating awareness around, oh yeah, I have had those days before, so shows them that it is possible on a very regular basis. And so it provides a little bit of glimpse or a little bit of insight showing them that, oh yes, I can do this and it is possible.
I love that, because a lot of times people forget, you know, when they were feeling healthy and well, or when they were feeling absolutely unstoppable. And sometimes people, you know, have to go all the way back to maybe when they were a kid or a teen or in their early 20s, for that matter, to really be able to grasp the concept of, yeah, at one time I did feel invincible and like I could just step out in the world and kick butt. And, you know, but it's been so long ago, or has been pushed down, and I've forgotten because I've been dealing with all these issues with my health and well-being, that now I don't believe that's possible, because I have like this huge, I want to say, oak tree on my path to bliss, and I can't figure out how to get around it. And so I'm kind of stuck in what I like to call a health misery, because, yeah, it's so draining. You know what I mean? And so it's interesting. You say you get that kind of like, what you're talking about, Willis, look, when you tell people that, and for actually to get them to believe it, how do you go about doing that? Because, and you know, talking to them and sharing that experience and taking them back to that place where they were feeling like they were invincible is one thing, but how do you get them to actually transcend and take that first step into believing you, or basically holding on to your hand as you guide them around that oak tree?
Sure. Well, most of my patients are referred from existing patients. And so they have a live person that they've seen the benefits of how they were and then what they become. And so it's easier for them when they see that. But there's a specific process that I have. And we start by doing a complete examination and consultation. And that what that does is it tells me, first of all, what their body's telling me is wrong with them. And then what they're telling me is wrong with them, because I have to look at both of those, because many times their insight as to what they tell me, most doctors don't listen to the patients. And many times the patient will tell you exactly what's wrong, and then I can correlate that with what I find through their actual testing.
Right.
And then I come up with a plan through my experience, through the results that I've gotten from conversing with them and testing them. And I come up with a plan to get to their goals. And then we meet on the following day, and I present them with something that I call a report of findings. And I tell them all the things that I found, how their symptoms are correlating with the things that are going on in their body, and then what I think in my professional experience and expertise it's going to take for them to get from where they are to where they want to go. And my job is to kind of hold their hand through the process and guide them. And, you know, what I do is I help people to help themselves get healthy. And so I'm there if they have a, you know, in between office visits, if they have a question, they text me or they call me. Because my job is always to move them in a positive direction towards health. So I start them on specific dietary recommendations. I start them on specific nutrient protocols. And then if they need specific exercises, or if they have to drink a certain amount of water, or they need to get a certain amount of sleep, you know, whatever it is for them that I find, because everybody's unique and different. So the information that people get is going to be kind of unique and different. And so I start there. And then I follow up in a week with them. And we see, I redo some of the tests to see how they're progressing, if they're progressing in a positive way or a negative way. I find out how they're doing on all their responsibilities, and we continue to move forward. I've had, you know, this is one of the most amazing things, is I had a patient that she had pain throughout her entire body for years, and she had been to medical doctors and alternative healers, and nobody could help her. And I did exactly what I stated, and within 2 days, all of her pain went away. And we figured out that there was specific foods and specific digestive issues and certain immune issues that were showing up that were facilitating pain syndromes with her. And so I'm kind of like a health detective, and I go through and I find out what works for that patient and what doesn't work. And then when they start to get better, then what we do is we systematically add groups of food back in that I've taken away and see how their body responds. And if their body responds favorably and they feel well and there's no problems, then they can continue to eat that food. But if it throws them back into the thralls of the symptoms that they had, then they have to make a choice. Do I want to have these symptoms, or do I want to eat that food? So that there's a direct correlation between what they're doing and the results on their body with that.
Love it. I love what you shared for a couple reasons. First of all, I like the concept of how you treat each individual as a unique individual. And so many times in particular Western medicine, that does not happen. Anybody out there that's listening to this show knows that if you go to the doctor with whatever pain, okay, whether it's joint pain, muscle pain, whatever, 9 times out of 10, the first thing they want to do is give you a prescription, quote unquote, possibly, probably, most likely for Vicodin. And all you might need to do is some simple stretching exercises or rest that body part or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
the other
right.
thing is people know that any, and this is a good one because it's so prevalent, high blood pressure, you know, 5 people can go to the doctor and all 5 of them with high blood pressure issues will generally get put on the same prescriptions, even though they may have gotten to that point of having high blood pressure and different reasons. One person may need to lose 10 pounds. Another person may have, you know, some little misfunction with their kidneys. Another person may, you know, it could be a
Absolutely.
Variety of things.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is they get the same medication, and that medication doesn't treat their unique symptoms that led them to that point. So I
Correct.
Love how you, you know, take individuals and you look at what is happening with this person. This is what they're telling me. This is what their body is saying. And let me correlate the two and see what's really going on with this person so that I can give them a customized plan of care that's going to work for them and their unique challenges. One person may need to be off gluten. Another person may need to eat gluten. You know,
exactly.
It just, you know, so I love, love, love that. And the fact that you know, your business is mostly referral gives more credence to it, you know, with regards to, they always say referral business is the best business because you don't have to prove yourself. Others have already proven you to others. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
so it's
sure,
great.
Sure.
But with regards to all of that, I mean, you know, all of the wonderful, you know, things that you do to help your clients, what would you say are some of the common misconceptions that you get from your clients about getting healthy, for one, because a lot of people don't believe once they have a disease that they can get back to being healthy, and two, sustaining it. You know, it's like, you know, you get on that diet, you lose the 10 pounds, you get off the diet, you gain 20 pounds.
Right, right.
What are the common misconceptions you hear about that?
Well, one of the biggest misconceptions is that, you know, you set a perfect example of that, is that, and I'll go ahead and use weight loss as an example, is that most people feel that when they lose that 10 or 20 pounds that they can go back to the lifestyle that created the problem. And then what happens is they gain more back. And the reason that is because when they've gone on their quote unquote diet, it was an unhealthy way to lose weight. And so what happens is they not only lose fat, but they lose muscle mass. And what happens is when you lose muscle mass, you get a decrease in metabolism. So then when you gain weight back, you gain twice as much fat back, and you've lost that muscle mass. And so every time you do those yo-yo diets, you continually lose more and more muscle mass, which means you have less and less of a metabolism to keep that body functioning properly, and it burns less fuel. And so exercise is really important in that. One of the other misconceptions is that, you know, I've had one patient in all the years I've been doing this that hasn't needed any nutritional supplementation to support their health process. And what typically happens is when they start to feel better, you know, like I'll use this woman I told you about that lost all of her pain in 2 days. Okay, so in 2 days she lost all of her pain. A lot of people just think, well, I'll stop doing everything that I did. I'll go back to the way I was eating. I'll stop taking the nutrients that I was doing. I'll stop drinking the water that I was drinking. And that is not the right way to do it, because what happens is you fall back into an unhealthy habit or an unhealthy pattern, which created the problem in the first place. And many people think that genetics are a big part of the problem. And there's some epigenetic
sorry about that.
It's totally okay. But most genetic problems count for a very, very, very small percentage of the health problems out there. When people look at, family history and they have a family predisposition to, say, diabetes or heart disease, 9 times out of 10, that is a lifestyle and diet thing that you continued the way that your parents were eating, and a lifestyle issue, you continue to do the things that your parents did, so you fall into those same categories. I've had patients come in with a complete family history of diabetes and they didn't want to get it, and if they do the right things on a daily basis, as far as food, as far as taking the right nutrients, as far as exercise, stress reduction, all those things, they won't get diabetes. Now, I don't say that I guarantee it, because, you know, again, each person is unique and different. But I've seen too many patients where those diet and lifestyle things are the cause of the problem, not the family history. And so those are some of the big misconceptions of health, is that, you know, I guess the big takeaway is that you're not stuck where you are. You have a choice to move in another direction of health, as long as you're willing to do a little bit of work to do it.
Love it. You know, nothing out there worth obtaining is easy. It's not given to you. It's not handed to you. And, you know, I try to stress to people that, you know, why wouldn't you take care of your greatest asset, which is yourself, your health and well-being? You can spend thousands of dollars on that marketing program or that salesperson or that mentor or whatever, but if you're not really taking care of yourself, you know, what good is to have all that other stuff when you're not going to be able to utilize it and optimize it as well as you would if you were healthy and well?
Sure.
And also, you know, people get stuck in, well, my dad had this and it's just a family, you know, genetic thing. And I share with people, I said, I'm, you know, come from a family of, my dad was Sicilian. I have African American and Irish. And within those three classes or races of people, there are unique medical conditions that, you know, are more prevalent than others. However, because I may, quote unquote, be genetically predisposed to conditions of my lineage, does not necessarily mean I have to get it, because I'm aware that those conditions exist and I can take control of my health and well-being, my lifestyle choices, what I choose to put in my body that can help curtail me not going down that path of train wreckage, but going down the path of blissful health. And so, you know, sometimes it's hard for people to hear that, but when you can show them and guide them and, you know, and just, it's sometimes it's something as simple as, you got to eliminate white sugar, honey, because the white sugar might be what's causing you to have inflammation in this area, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
When they get it and they experience it, then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not a victim to my genetics. And I know for you, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. Now, you mentioned something about, and my two, I like to call these my double E's, because these are the ones that people have the hardest time with. First of all, eating, and second of all, exercise. So with regards to eating, what is something that you would love to just, if you had, you know, this is your time to shine, some time to share with people a nugget of gold about eating, what would you share with them right now?
Okay, that's a great question. Most people don't know that the early nutritional pioneers were all dentists. And the reason that is because they started to see at the beginning of the industrialization of food, they started to see the number of cavities dramatically increase in their patients.
Mm.
Because prior to the industrialization of food, the average number of cavities were one cavity per 1,000 teeth. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And they started to see a dramatic rise in cavities, and they started to see a dramatic rise in acute and chronic disease. And so this one doctor, Dr. Weston Price, he decided to take his own money, and he traveled around the world looking at indigenous cultures to see what they ate and what their health was. And he found that when indigenous cultures ate foods that were local to them, that were not processed, but that were from the ground or from the animals in the area, that tooth decay and disease were almost non-existent. And so he wrote a book on that. And it's amazing, because those same people that were in those indigenous cultures, when they would travel and move to an area that had industrialized food, within a matter of years, they would have the same health problems that the industrialization nations would have. And
wow.
So there's many, many docs that have done research on that. There's a Dr. Pottinger that did research on cats with that as well. And so it just shows that the more processed food you eat, the sicker you're going to be. And so the big, you know, you mentioned sugar. Sugar is, especially, processed, you know, refined sugar, is probably the worst thing that you can do for yourself. If you just gave up all forms of sugar and sugar substitutes, you would probably improve your health. I don't want to give a percentage because I don't know for people, you know, but it would improve it dramatically. And
yeah.
So I'll give you a typical example of how it reacts with people. My son, I've got a 13-year-old son, and he eats pretty well. He's probably in the top 90% of, 13-year-old kids because of the way I eat. And today's his last day of school. So yesterday they went to the movies for school, and they had candy, and then they had candy and Coke at school. And then he came home and he had something because it was second to last day of school, and he slept horrendously last night, and he woke up cranky and irritable, and it's all because he ate that stuff that he doesn't eat on a regular basis, and it was sugar and corn syrup. And so you have to look at food is meant to nourish the body. It's meant to taste good, but it's meant to nourish the body. And it's meant to not inflame the body, because, you know, you talked about inflammatory foods earlier. And so it's important that you eat nutrient-dense foods and that you remove the foods that can be offending. And so I think sugar, there's many other foods, but I think sugar and sugar substitutes would be the best way to go. And that doesn't mean that you add NutraSweet in, or you add corn syrup in, or you add, because those can even be worse. But you have to try to pull out sugar and see how you do for a period of 2 to 4 weeks. And it's going to be hard, because many people have sugar cravings. And the reason they have sugar cravings is because they have blood sugar issues. And so that's another aspect that has to be dealt with. And then, so, you know, when you get into blood sugar issues, then you have to, you know, everybody's been told that fat's bad for you. Well, good wholesome fats are very good for you and they help stabilize your blood sugar. My wife and my son and I probably go through 4 to 5 pounds of butter a week. And so butter is a really, really good food. If you can get it organic, it's even better. If you can get it raw, it's even better. But good animal fats, good olive oil, good fats are good for you and they help stabilize your blood sugar.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I can attest to the sugar thing. Growing up, I was a sugar addict. I had, some digestive challenges for a long time, but that's for another show. But
yes.
What I did one year was, because I knew that sugar was my nemesis, I gave up sugar for Lent. Okay. And, I don't want to equate it to being like a heroin addict or a crack addict or anything, but my addiction to sugar was, quite intense. And the first day, and I have a very strong willpower. So it was like, doggone, I put this challenge ahead of me. I'm not going to fail myself. I got to beat myself. Right. So, the first day was tough. Second day was a little better. Day three, I thought about it, but I didn't have the cravings. You know what I mean? It was like the
right.
Cravings, like day three was gone. And then from day four on, I didn't even think about it. It was such a trip for me. Someone as highly addicted to sugar as I was, or anybody knows me, I'd rather eat dessert than food. It was like amazing. So this is the funny part. And I'm telling this story because people out there, you really can do it. You just got to put your mind to it. If I can kick the sugar habit, you can too. So my daughter was a junior in high school at the time when I did this. And to celebrate, going through Lenten season without any sugar, we were taking a trip to Aruba. So before we packed up, we were going to be in Aruba on Easter. So before we packed up, I stopped at See's Candy, and not only did I buy 1 2-pound box of candy, I bought 2 2-pound boxes of candy to take with me down to Aruba so I could celebrate this journey of not having sugar.
Yeah.
Get down there, open the box of candy. I had one bite of the candy, and it was like, I didn't want it. And I'm like, what the heck? So then I tried to force myself, right? So I'm like, okay, I bought all this candy, by George. We're going to eat this candy. I had, maybe another piece or two. And my kids, they were not like candy. They didn't like candy cookies, that kind of stuff. I don't know. They were weird kids. But they didn't really like that kind of stuff. So she was like, well, I'm not going to eat it. And then the husband was like, well, I'm not going to eat it. I might eat a couple pieces. So I ended up giving the candy to the gal that was coming in to clean our room because it was like, I bought all this candy. It cost a lot of money. Somebody's going to eat this candy. But for me, I just lost it. And in the process of that, I wasn't trying to lose weight or anything. I was just trying to see if I could conquer my sugar addiction. That was my whole gist. But during that whole process, I always have a lot of energy, but I felt really good every morning that I woke up. I didn't have the peaks and valleys with my mood, where I'm happy and then I'm, irritable, or where I didn't have the peaks and valleys because my blood sugar was balanced. I'd lost weight. I had sustainable energy when I went to the gym, even though I thought I was not going to have that because I didn't have the sugar. Sustainable energy. I found other really good, yummy foods that satisfied my sweetness because they were naturally sweet. They had the natural sweet component when they break down in the digestive system. But it was amazing, amazing, amazing. And to this day, I still don't, that's been a long time ago, but I'm not addicted to sugar like that. And when you also mentioned, like having healthy fat and good fat in your diet, and you say butter, I bet there are people out there that are like, oh my God, he said the B word. However, with regards to what I like, I love butter. Butter is so yummy and so flavorful. It, it adds essence and quality and just some smoothness and I don't know, just some richness to whatever you put it on, whether it's, gluten-free pancakes or, you know, sauteing your chicken, whatever it is, it just gives a really yummy flavor. But I, because I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner and I practice Ayurveda and I've done it for a long time, I utilize ghee, which is, you know, a clarified butter. It has a wonderful flavor, all the things that butter, but because I'm also lactose intolerant, it takes that out for me, so I'm able to enjoy it. So it's like you said some wonderful things in that, and it's just I like to share my story with people because it's possible if you're out there listening. It can be done. You can do it. Take it moment by moment, day by day, and know that you are doing something very, very good for you because white sugar is horrible for our bodies, as Dr. Art will, you know, has said. And there's this misconception that we need it and we need a sugar substitute, and you don't really need that in your life to really enjoy some really yummy food. And I want to ask you, since we're on the topic of like eating and, you know, misconceptions about our diet and things, is there a best diet out there that you would recommend or suggest or could discuss with us on air?
Well, everybody's different. But initially what I do is I pull out all the major offending foods. And so I'll pull out, as we just talked about, sugar and sugar substitutes. I'll pull out milk and milk products, you know, with the exception of ghee. I'll pull out all wheat and grains. And sometimes I'll even pull out nightshades, like tomatoes and bell peppers and things like that. And I start there, and I do that for a minimum of 2 to 4 weeks. And the reason is because it can take up to four weeks for that stuff to get out of your system and it to start to calm down again. You mentioned that your situation, your sugar cravings disappeared in 3 days, which is awesome. I've had patients where it's taken almost a year for those sugar cravings to go away. And so don't be discouraged if it takes a long time. And so, you know, there's the eat right for your blood type. There's the Atkins or the paleo diet. There's all these different versions. If you go to the International Foundation for Nutrition and Health, it's called, their website is ifnh.org. And that there's a diet there called the Page Food Plan, and this is a doctor that did this some of the work that I actually do, and he created a food plan that outlines what some of the best ways to start eating are to stabilize your blood chemistry. And so it's eating low carbohydrate vegetables, and protein, and he allows raw milk. But I find that many, many people have a milk sensitivity. I have an extreme milk sensitivity. And so I always start there. One misconception that people have is, well, if I have a muffin in the morning, or that's it, you know, I let my patients know, you have to be very strict on this for 2 to 4 weeks. If you add something in, you have to start all over again. On the time. And so I have people keep a diet diary of those things, because as soon as you add that food group that they're sensitive to back in, it starts the whole cascade, you know, chain reaction cascade over again, and you got to start brand new and allow the body to clear it out so you can get a clearer picture. Did that answer your question well enough?
Yeah, no, it's great. I like that, and listeners out there, he just kind of gave you a little thing that you can do with regards to, you know, doing some checks and balance with where you at, with what you eat and what you put into your body. You know, if you start just slowly eliminating sugar, dairy, seeing, you know, if you have sensitivities or things of that nature, you'll never know until you start eliminating some of these things and then try incorporating them back in after, he says, like the 2 to 4 week period, and see how your body reacts. Our bodies always, always talk to us. We just don't always listen. And we don't listen to the whispers of the body. We only listen to when the body is shouting at us. And when it's shouting, we have a problem. So, you know, just follow some of the tips that Dr. Art just shared with you. and watch yourself manifest into a better state of well-being. Now, the second part of the double E syndrome, or what I like to call it, seems to be the most challenging for people. Oh, wait, before I go to that E, I want you to touch on the subject a little bit about digestion. And
yes.
Why proper digestion is so important. Like, okay, so we've made some changes in what we eat or what we're taking into our body, but, you know, I'm still having some digestive stuff going on, or I've had digestive problems before I started doing this, and I don't really discount it. A little gas, a little bloating, little
right.
acid reflux, you know, whatever the case may be. Why is it so proper for our digestive system to be operating at an optimal level?
Well, it's the main reason is that if you don't properly digest your food, even if you eat nutrient-dense food, you're not going to get as much of the nutrients out of the food that you could if you were properly digesting them. And so that those symptoms usually occur as people age. And there can be a lot of reasons for that, but the two major reasons that I find are, first, there can be a drop in hydrochloric acid production, and that occurs due to stress, due to damage of the stomach lining, due to poor diet. And so what happens is when we're 60 years old, we produce around 20% of the hydrochloric acid that we produced when we were in our 20s. So we're not getting proper digestion of our food as we age. And so that's the first place to start is making, and again, I recommend that you find a practitioner to work with you on this, because if you've got a hiatal hernia or you've got any gastritis or inflammation of the gut or sensitivity to that type of thing, you don't just want to go in and start taking hydrochloric acid, because you'll cause pain and irritation in your digestive tract. And so find a practitioner to help you work with this. But supplementing with acid support for your gut to promote proper digestion is the most important thing there. Secondly, many people have gallbladders that are far less than functioning at optimum. And that's due to a life of poor fats and poor quality oils that they're eating, and their gallbladder starts to either get full of stones or it starts to get thick and sludgy and it doesn't function properly. And you need proper gallbladder support proper gallbladder function to provide the proper digestion of fats and oils. And so making sure that your gallbladder is functioning is a second part of that. Now, a caveat to that is when you have the proper digestion and the proper pH in the beginning of your digestive tract, you start to get more of the correct bacteria growing and flourishing in the lower part of your digestive tract. And most people, when they look at a digestive issue, they look at, well, I'm just going to take a probiotic and that'll be okay. Well, it's not, because just as if you plant a garden, you have to have soil that has the right composition and the right nutrients and the right nitrogen content. It's the same with your bowel. Your bowel is like the soil for those organisms to grow. And so if you've got a bowel that has the wrong pH and the wrong nutrients down there, it's taking a probiotic is a waste of your money. You always start at the beginning of your digestive system and work your way down. The very last thing is there can be some immune issues as well. I mean, there can be an overgrowth of bacteria. There can be yeast issues. There can be viral issues. And so all those can be ferreted out through specific tests and, you know, specific means. But the hydrochloric acid and gallbladder are the two best places to start.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. With regards to proper fat or proper oil or good oils. I know we talked about butter and ghee, you know, clarified
yeah.
butter. But can you name, or what are your thoughts with regards to coconut oil, olive oil, versus some of the other oils on the market. What are your thoughts with regards to utilizing those in our diets and what we eat?
Those are great choices. Make sure that they're the oil that you get is as raw as possible. And one of the issues with olive oil is, don't buy a 2-gallon container of olive oil and let it sit for a long period of time. Buy small containers of fresh oil, because as soon as it's exposed to oxygen, as soon as it gets open, it starts to go rancid. And rancid fats and oils are the problem. And so it's going to be a little more expensive, but buy smaller containers of olive oil and use them up within a week or so and buy another one. Then you'll always be sure that you're getting fresh olive oil. There's also a big misconception of canola oil, that canola oil is healthy, and it is not. Canola oil was originally founded as an industrial lubricant.
Ew.
And so, yeah. And so understand that just because science or the lobbyists for specific food organizations say that it's healthy doesn't necessarily mean so. And so, what I try to get my patients to see is, look what people did 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the type of foods that they ate, different cultures, the things that they ate. Those are the foods that have allowed mankind to move on to be healthy. Now, wheat was eaten a long time ago, but the wheat that we're eating now is not the same that it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Along with it being genetically modified, it's also sprayed with many, many antifungals and things that can cause problems. And so I don't put grains into that topic, but, fats and oils, coconut oil, olive oil, some people do okay with avocado oil. I eat a lot of animal fats because I'm an O positive blood type, and I've learned through my journey of becoming aware of how I work with things that I need some type of animal protein or animal fat every single meal, every single day. Whereas I have patients that get by with very, very, very little protein and very, very little of, especially animal protein. And so you just have to be aware of, when you're eating, how your body responds to specific things.
Well, that's why people need to come and seek you out to work with you, so that you could help them figure out the mystery. It's like, teaching them how to do a calculus problem. Here, you do it yourself, or here, let me show you how to do it the proper way. And once I show you how to do it the proper way, it becomes a lot easier to do.
Right?
Okay, so now, I could just talk and talk to you about this. I love talking to, other healthcare professionals. It's amazing the information that we can get out in a setting that, sometimes can take people 10 years to obtain by going to their doctor.
So
it's really cool. Okay, so the next E I want to talk about is the exercise component, the second really hard E for people out there. But it has such a profound effect on our physical well-being. Can you share, some thoughts or words of wisdom about how people, it's something that you can share with them as to help them to transition into incorporating a little bit of this second E, exercise, into their lives?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, again, it's going to be different for every person. A lot of times it's just about getting people moving. It's not about specific exercise. It's about getting them to do something, first of all, that creates motion in their body, but secondly, that they like doing. Most people hate exercise, and they hate exercise because they view it as a chore. Like, if you go to the gym, I find that a chore. Whereas if I go on a hike, or I go on a bike ride, or I go do some type of fun thing that I like to, that's a completely different type of exercise for me, and it's enjoyable, which also takes care of the time for yourself portion, because I have my patients all take certain amount of time for themselves every day to do something that they like to do. And so for some people, it's going to be weightlifting because they love doing it, or they have to create some body mass. They have to build some muscle mass. Sarcopenia or muscle wasting is a big issue as we get older because of poor digestion, poor diet and poor exercise. And so exercise is critical, but if you've got a patient that has congestive heart failure, you have to tread very carefully on those type of things because they're not going to be able to do a whole lot of exercise. So the trick is, the rule of thumb I use is the bigger the health complaint or the more drastic that the health complaint is, the less exercise they're going to do until we create some type of health and energy within their system. If they're just coming for a digestive issue or, say, some structural problems or maybe high blood pressure or maybe diabetes, those are all things that can definitely incorporate exercise. And so, depending on what I find structurally, will determine which choices that I'm going to make for them. Do you want me to elaborate on that, or is that clear?
That's pretty clear for me. It makes sense that you would address the problem that might be curtailing them with their, bigger complaint regarding their well-being before just diving in and saying, well, you know what? Again, the cookie cutter method. You're going I want you 20 minutes of exercise every day and, eat this, eat these foods and do that. Yeah. So, it makes complete sense for me. But you did say something that I think the way you worded it was a little bit more, I think, awakening to me in the context. It's like I've never heard it that way. But you said the bigger the health complaint, the less exercise a person is going to be able to tolerate until you get a hold of correcting or that imbalance in that health complaint. And I thought, wow, that's probably going to reach a lot of people because there was a person I know that had congestive heart failure and actually died from congestive heart failure. And this person was an exercise person all their lives. And what was really amazing was even though they were dying from the congestive heart failure, they would still try to go to like the YMCA every day and walk on the treadmill for just a little bit. And I thought, wow, it's just something you said just kind of sparked that awareness in me to think of it in that context and in a different term. And I think, people out there listening probably grasp on that a little bit more easier, specifically if they have a health challenge that they're dealing with. And when they go to the doctor, they hear, you need to exercise more, right?
Absolutely, yes. And, so what I see a lot is, I had a patient that had very, very severe Crohn's at one point. And we shifted that around, and all of a sudden energy starts to come in. And so be aware of that energy. Most people want to go and they want to do all the things that they haven't been able to do when they were sick, and they throw themselves back into the situation where they burn up all that energy instead of allowing their body to heal. And so just because you start to get healthy, don't throw yourself back into life full force. Give yourself time to rejuvenate, because that'll be another thing that's going to throw you backwards and cause you to backslide and not continue to move forward in health.
Love it. Wow. Thank you. Okay. One more thing that I want to ask you about with regards to just all the stuff we've been talking about today, improving, being aware, noticing, paying attention, and engaging in doing our health and well-being. Sleep.
Yes.
Sleep is a challenge like you would not believe. I know you would believe, but it's a challenge that is facing people at an astronomical rate, way, way, way more than it did, say, even 10, 20, or 30 years ago, or even when I was a kid,
Right.
And when you try to tell people this problem, there's so much denial about it that people don't even really realize that they're sleep deprived and how important sleep is to your health and well-being. Can you share your words of wisdom with us on that, please?
Absolutely. Well, I'll start by saying that sleep is when the body repairs and replenishes itself. And so if you're continually sleep deprived, you're not allowing your body to heal properly. That's one thing. But if you look at time and what the sleep patterns were prior to the invention of electricity and the light bulb, people would sleep when it got dark, pretty much. And so sleep would go, 8 hours to 10 hours, maybe 12 hours sometimes, you know, depending on what your weather was like.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the industrial, and then when light came, or, you know, the light bulb was invented, then it went down. And then when TV, it went down. And then with the internet, it's gone ballistically crazy because people stay up all night. Now you've got the issue of Wi-Fi and cellular phones and cordless phones. All those emit specific electronic waves that completely disrupt sleep. So even if you're trying to get 8 or 9 or 10 hours sleep, and you've got Wi-Fi running in your house and you've got your cell phone that's on right next to your bed, it's a mess. Yeah, it won't allow your mind to shut off. And so people, that coupled with diet, if you have a low blood sugar issue when you wake up in the middle of the night, if you've got a liver problem, or you've got some type of liver stress and you wake up in the middle of the night, I mean, there can be so many things that cause the problems. The biggest thing to start with is just being okay with going to bed. Most people have work until 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and then they have to get up at 5 or 6 to go back to work again. That is really hard on the system. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. Sleep is critical for your health. Don't be afraid to allow yourself time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Thank you. Yeah, I people just don't really realize, for one, that they're sleep deprived, and secondly,
yeah,
that all the electronics, you know, really hamper them getting a blissful night's sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I don't sleep. My computer is not in my room. My phone is not in my room. The only thing I may be guilty of is having a television. But for that, you know, for me, I know for me that in order for me to wind down, I need to have stuff off at least 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes
right
before I go to sleep. So I use
right
that time to journal or to read or, you know, to
good
prepare my body to just get in that, you know, that relaxative space. You know, to prepare basically to go to sleep and so
right
it can rest and rejuvenate. So thank you again for sharing the information. And we are at the end of our show, Dr. Art, and there's so many other things I want to ask you. But with regard
I'm happy
to
come back anytime.
Oh, great, great, yay. We will get that taken care of, listeners out there, because this was, I think, a great show. With regards to people learning more about you or learning how to get in contact with you or, you know, just, you know, following you, so to speak, and learning from your words of wisdom and your knowledge, how would someone do that?
Well, I have a website, but it actually, we're in the process of completely revamping it, so that's inactive right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to give my direct phone number. And,
okay.
Because people always have questions, and that's the best, quickest way for them to get their questions answered. And so that would be 559 475-8611.
Okay.
And if you want to call, or you can email me as well, and that's that's D as in David, R, A-R-T, so Dr. Art, at Concepts for Health, and I'll spell that out. It's concepts4health.com.
Okay. Great. Okay, so there you have it, listeners. I know some of you out there really, really grasp what Dr. Art shared with us and would like to engage and learn more about how, you know, you may be able to work with him, or if he can help you, or, you know, I don't know, whatever you have going on with your health and well-being that you want to improve and know that you can and should have it in a better state, then I highly suggest that you connect with Dr. Art. Now, for questions, you can definitely send him an email at drart@conceptsforhealth.com. That's Dr. D-R-A-R-T at C-O-N-C-E-P like Paul, T like Thomas, S like Sam, F-O-R-H-E-A-L-T like Thomas, H.com. Or you can call him at 559-475-8611. And Dr. Art, again, I want to thank you for being a guest on Blissful Living. It was absolutely a pleasure to have you. And we'll definitely get you back on the show for part two, so to speak. And to all of you out there listening, I want to thank you. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation with Dr. Art today, and I hope you tune in next time as well. Please share the site and this show's information with those you love and care about, and even those that you may not care too much about, because everyone can benefit from tuning in and listening to the wonderful guests such as Dr. Art on Blissful Living. But until next time, I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lossing, saying goodbye for now.